Rose is your name, but when you poop, it sure don't smell like roses. Your number two burns the hair in my nose, but we fought hand in paw. Now your poop don't stink at all. Now that the air is clear, I'll treasure your front and rear, my sweet rose.
Instantly neutralize poop stink with Poop Fighter from World's Best Cat Litter for the world's best cat.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a two-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
That's definitely this game gets really fucking weird.
Yeah, so you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap.
10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha la 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 la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God.
It's just 1-0. We are talking. He is.
We are talking. Talk, yes. talk.
Woo! We are talking. Everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Or maybe they didn't. Hi.
Welcome back to another edition of Soul of a Gamer podcast. I am Scott. Yes.
And I am Steven.
And every week we play a game and we tell you about the making of said game. And I'm going to turn down my gain a bit because I feel like it's fucking loud.
A little, not too bad. Not too bad.
All right, I turned it down a little bit. So we tell you about the making of the game and we tell you about how we think the game did as we played it.
Yes.
Last week, we hope you enjoyed our episode and it was...
That one game that we played.
Yeah, that one game. It was Half-Life, the original Half-Life.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I just played it on my phone because Steven told me the sound sounded terrible and he fucked up majorly, and that's his fucking fault, not mine this time.
Yeah, that was my bad. It defaulted to the wrong microphone, so the audio was pretty shit, so I apologize for that.
Yeah, I don't know why cameras have microphones.
Dude, it's so annoying sometimes. Like, it's okay if you're using it for both, but most people aren't using their
microphone. I don't know
microphone.
Anyone who uses the fucking, unless you're like 95 years old and you don't know how a camera works.
Like, the only time it's useful is when I'm like Skyping with somebody.
Yeah. We hope you enjoyed Half-Life. That was a lot of fun for us. It was an interesting game. Not the best, not the worst. But it did start one of the biggest companies of all time, so...
True. And, you know, it did spawn several sequels that all of them are pretty beloved. So,
yeah. So, all right. Well, this week, let's get right into our what are we playing this week? So, Steven, what are you playing?
I didn't do too much new shit this week. I did try out a little bit of the new Lord of the Rings Mines of Moria survival game. Okay. It's like a survival crafting game.
Everyone is trying their best to jump into the Minecraft market.
Dude, swear. Everyone is. I thought it might be a kind of fun one because Jen and I like playing a lot of just like random multiplayer games. And we liked Grounded a lot and Minecraft. Yeah. So I was like, maybe we could do another one, see how it is. And we've tried a couple others and not liked any others. This one, I maybe put about an hour into and I don't know if I'm going to go back to it.
Fair.
I think it's made for computer and the port for the system. It just seems like the UI is really weird and seem great.
You can like wirelessly send your computer to your...
You mean the keyboard and mouse?
No. I even mean the... So if you have this monitor set up, you set it up as a multi-skin monitor and you do the wireless transmission from the computer to your TV instead of having to put your whatever in, then you can essentially play what's on your computer, as long as it's within range for your controller on your TV in your living room.
I had something that was doing that, but they discontinued that service, so I haven't been able to find another
service.
Well,
most TVs have the option for like casting too, so
that's true. Maybe I'll start to see if I can get it to work. But again,
yeah, that'd be cool. It'd probably be better. Most games are better on computer anyway, so
yeah. Because I actually had this thing on my Fire Stick. I think it's called like Moonlight or something like that. And I'd plug it into my TV, and I could actually Bluetooth the controller to the Fire Stick.
Yeah.
And I could play anything on my PC on my TV.
I use one for an older TV that's called Screen Beam, and that one's really helpful.
Nice.
So, all right. Well, I have not been playing pretty much anything. I have been doing 100% school this week, guys. I haven't touched games except for the game we played. So, no updates from me on this one.
That's fair. That's fair. You know, he's trying to better his life again, going back to school. Mm-hmm. I guess I got to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt.
But yeah, let's just jump right into this. This week we are playing Stray Gods, the role-playing musical.
Yes.
And I didn't put it in here because I think I forgot, but the original title was Chorus, the adventure musical, I believe. But then another game came out called Chorus. So they had to change the name. And it was like right before they were about to release, like a year before they were about to release,
Seen that game called
Chorus. I don't know what it is, so I just assume it's like either really good or really bad, or nobody knows about it. So
no idea. But that kind of sucks. I kind of like the name Stray Gods, though. I mean, Chorus makes sense for what the game is, but
yeah, I actually like the name Chorus better. Stray Gods is an interesting name, and you won't forget it, but I think they could have done better. I think they could have done a little bit better than Stray Gods.
That's fair. That's fair.
And the role-playing musical kind of oversells what it is, I feel like.
Yeah, it's not really role-playing.
Yeah. We'll get into that when we talk about our review. Yeah. But for now, the story of the Stray Gods role-playing musical follows Grace, a musician looking to... Oh my God, what did I write? What the hell did I do?
A musician looking to... Oh my God, what did I write?
I meant to put start a band or start auditioning, looking to start a band or looking for band members. That's what I tried to do. And four in the wrong spot. So a musician looking for band members. She soon meets a woman, Calliope, who turns out to be a muse for the Greek gods. When Calliope is murdered, Grace becomes the prime suspect, as well as her replacement. Can she find the proof she needs to clear her name in just 7 days? Seven days.
You will die in 7 days.
Just everything's in seven. It's always a week.
No, dude,
you're
going to
die in a week. You're going to be fired in a week. You're going to be tried
Smile,
in a week.
The ring.
Yep. Doesn't matter what. It's a fucking week. Yeah. That's how long you got. You better be ready. I'm ready at any given moment for something to only take a week, okay?
And that last week, man, I'm going out in balls of fury.
Yep. The making of the game starts in 2018. Composer Austin Wintory was looking to make a game and was brought into a publisher to pitch ideas for a friend. After pitching his idea, the friend said that it is not something the company would be interested in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. He said GDC, but I don't know what GDC stands for. So I was like, I don't want to put the company in there if I don't know what company it was. And I couldn't find the company anywhere else besides an interview he gave or a TED Talk.
God damn it, Charlie.
Yeah. Instead, he said that someone was there in that studio from a studio based out of Melbourne, Australia. Melbourne? It's Melbourne,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Melbourne.
Melbourne. Something stupid like that. He was spelled fucking born. Whatever. Melbourne, Australia, and was looking to make a game just like the one that he had suggested. The problem, though, was the representative for Summerfall Studios, that's the game developer for this game, was about to leave and get on a plane to go back to Australia within an hour.
Oh, damn.
Austin was able to catch up. He said in his interview, he's like, I'm running like in a bad movie, trying to like... catch up to this guy before he gets on the plane,
like,
and I never see him again. It's literally like a bad rom-com.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny in the interview. He's able to catch up to the representative and pitch his idea. Later, he got a call saying the studio was interested and they already had a writer in mind to help create the game. David Gator, a lead writer on almost all the Dragon Age games and former employee of BioWare, wrote the entire game story. And that you can see that a lot in the game. Like, the backstory for this game is incredible.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Dragon Age and Mass Effect and Knights of the Old Republic, there's so much backstory in all those games.
It's the world building.
Yeah, it's not necessarily tied to what you're doing in that moment, but it's a setup for everything that you are. So it's amazing.
Yeah. Dialogue is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. He was very skilled when it came to making dialogue choices that would lead to many other choices due to his time working with BioWare. One of the things that they wanted to do with this game was take out all of the extra stuff from games like Mass Effect, Dragon Age, and Knights of the Old Republic. By extra stuff, they mean taking out everything other than dialogue and making it music focused, which I thought was funny. He said that. He's like, we wanted to take out all the extra stuff. And what we mean is all the gameplay. Just like the extra
pretty
stuff.
Much
the thing that sells the game, you know, the gameplay,
all the cutscenes, the gameplay. Oh, yeah, the everything.
So funny. With dialogue in the game, they wanted to have a branching effect, meaning that every choice led to a different set of choices and so on. This means that the number of choices total for the game reached around a few hundred million, according to Austin.
Damn.
I don't think that's true. That seems like a lot.
That seems like a lot.
For a 6-hour game, but he says a few hundred million when you take in all the choices you could possibly make.
Yeah. I wonder if that's counting DLCs.
Is there a DLC?
There's
for
two
game?
DLCs, I believe. Or at least one.
I didn't know that. No, this is before the game even released that I watched this interview.
So. Oh, so never mind that.
Well, now I should have played the DLC. I didn't know there was the game like this. I didn't expect it to be DLC.
Yeah, there's an Orpheus DLC. I'll tell you about it more later.
Okay, okay. They didn't want the dialogue choices to reflect Mass Effect or Knights of the Old Republic in the way that there were good and bad choices. They wanted the choices to be more personal than that. So they came up with the system to have each specific choice while singing reflect a different attitude. None were inherently good or bad, but more emotionally based. There were a few rules they made when making the game. First, the songs had to have narrative consequences. So essentially, like, just because you're singing a song doesn't mean that the things said in the song won't affect other things said without song. So everything kind of connected together with that one. Second, the choices had to compound. This means that each decision affects future decisions. And third, they had to sound like songs. And this one, I actually like this, although I don't agree with it for how they sounded in the actual game.
There's certain songs that sound really great and have really good moments, but there's very, other songs very few, that kind of choppy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This means that it can't just be music for the point of driving dialogue. They had to have a real emotional effect like you would get through listening to real music. Which I can respect that. That's smart. Yeah. You should have it that way. I don't feel like they did that 100%, but they said they did.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
They brought in an indie band to help write all of the music for the game, and I forgot to put the name of the band in here. There was like Trey something, or it started with a T, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know.
One problem they had early in development was the fact that there was only one composer, and he was not a lyricist. He knew he had to spend time writing music with each of the four members of the indie band and knew he wouldn't have all the time. So he brought on an additional songwriter. This was someone who was also Australia's choice for Eurovision.
Oh, nice.
So they had to wait for that to be over in order to have her help them, which I thought was really funny.
Nice.
She's like, she told them too. I have a little gig and it turns out it's Eurovision.
little gig.
Little just gig.
Worldwide fucking
yep,
thing.
Yep. Everyone but the United States.
Yep.
So they had to wait for it to be over. Yep. This was all also mostly developed during COVID. So most of the music and concept writing for the game was written over Zoom. Music played the biggest role in the development of the game. So for every 5-minute song, for every single 5-minute song, which I think most of the songs in this game were about 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
There were 50 minutes of music written for it.
Damn. I mean, that's not surprising, but damn.
Yeah. Cast for the game was Laura Bailey as Grace. And how does he keep coming up? I just don't understand how we keep getting him. Troy Baker as Apollo.
Yep.
Mary Elizabeth McGlynn as Persephone. Janina Gavankar as Freddy. Carrie Payton as Pan. Abu Bakr It's Abu and Baker put together. So Abu okay. Bakr, Salim as Eros, Felicia Day, who I love Felicia Day. I actually, Felicia guys, Day. I have a book signed by Felicia Day that says fuck you, Scott, in it.
That's awesome.
Because my buddy is a good friend of hers, and he knows how much I love Felicia Day, so he got her to sign a book for me. As Athena, Rahul Kohli as Minotaur, Allegra, which I cannot believe someone's first fucking name is Allegra, because you know what Allegra is?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the drug.
Yeah, the drug. And I'm like, who the fuck names their kid after a drug? But with two L's. I believe the original Allegra has one L, but whatever. Allegra Clark as Hecate. Merle Dandridge as Aphrodite. Erica Ishii as Hermes. Ashley Johnson, who is also very famous, as Calliope. Ellie. And other, like, a shit ton of roles, right?
Oh, yeah. She's done a lot. But, I mean, Ellie or Pike from Vox Machina are, like, probably her two most famous ones.
Yeah, and she was, like, in a show, I'm pretty sure. Wasn't she in Full House?
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
I don't think she was on Full House. I think
she was
in
like a
something.
TV show in the 90s, I feel like.
Yeah, I can't remember though.
Where was I?
Voice cast. You were at Ashley Johnson.
Yeah, Ashley Johnson. Yeah. As Calliope, Lauren, her preferred name is Lolo. Spencer as Venus. Anjali Bimani as Medusa. Kimberly Brooks as Oracle. And Anthony Rapp as Orpheus. Troy Baker actually ended up being the director of the game. That way they could get the best out of the cast. They did this whole thing where Troy Baker essentially had all these things he wanted to say. And it's really forward of him to say this, but he's like, if you're an aspiring voice actor, just know that almost all the games you play are made up by the same voice cast.
Yeah.
There's almost no difference, and that's just because we are so incredibly good at it. It has nothing to do with the audition, nothing to do with anything. It's just we are really good at this stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, there's a reason we see these names keep appearing over and over and over again. You will see Troy Baker and Laura Bailey in more things than you will ever realize.
Yes. and Ashley Johnson, for that matter. I'm pretty sure we've done games with her before in it.
Well,
so.
And two other big casting things for me for this one that I wanted to point out was
Orpheus?
Name? Ophirius? Or Orpheus?
Orpheus. Yeah. Anthony Rapp?
That's Anthony Rapp, who was in the original Rent Broadway cast.
Oh, nice.
And the movie.
There was another one. I bet you're going to say it. I think one of these guys was really famous, too. I just don't remember who it was.
Well, one of them, Freddie, she's actually, if you've ever watched the show The League, she's Shiva Kamini Somakamaranda.
Oh, that's okay. Yes.
I wanted to do the Shiva Blast, but I knew I couldn't do it justice. So I was like, I'll just say
it. I love The League. It's one of my favorite shows back in the day. So, Troy Baker actually ended up being director of the game, which I thought was a really good choice. Like, honestly, throwing a voice actor in there as director, that's really fucking smart. Mm-hmm. Especially for such a vocal voice-driven game. Like, this entire game is all voice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's barely even any visuals.
Yep. That way you can get the best of the cast. Austin also directed, but found it challenging to direct actors. When directing musicians, he would give an idea of what the music represented. And what I mean by that is he'd say, okay, so imagine this scene. Mm-hmm. The princess is entering the ballroom and everyone looks at her and she's beautiful. And, you know, they'll give an idea of that. And that way the musicians understand, okay, it's gotta be big. It's gotta be loud. It's gotta be formal, but it's gotta be insanely happy. Like, that you get a lot of emotion out of describing that.
Yeah.
And when he tried with this with the actors, he would get a response like, so louder then? He said he got that response about 40 times before he was like, yes, fucking louder, I guess.
Loud noises.
I thought that was funny. He's a composer. He's used to working with musicians, not with fucking actors who are like, can you just give me a direction, not a fucking scene? I don't need the scene.
For sure.
Writing all the songs for the game took around 2 years. When they recorded for the game, they booked almost 100 recording sessions and took around 6 months to record.
Wow.
I mean, you have to, like, I don't know how long a recording session is. Like, when I went in and recorded one song, I think the total amount of time we spent in there was around 10 hours.
Oh, wow.
So I have to assume that each one is around 10 hours.
Damn.
But maybe even longer. So you, like, 10 times 100, that's 1,000 hours of them just working on shit over 6 months.
That's so ridiculous.
It's crazy. They also said that making a game like this requires a lot of risk due to the fact of how expensive it is to have all of this music stuff done. Like,
yeah,
it's extreme. He said, like, no one makes games like this for a reason.
True.
And so, the game came out in August of 2023 to favorable reviews. It was nominated and won several awards. I don't think it won this award, but it was nominated. I should have probably clarified that, but including a Grammy for Best Score Soundtrack for a Video Game.
Oh, wow.
So it won a Grammy. I think it was like all the awards were kind of lame, like Indie Game of the Year Award and
yeah,
British game stuff of things awards and something that no one's ever heard of award. Here's the award.
Won Australian Game Developer Awards Game of the Year. And
yeah, see, and it's,
Golden
Joysticks,
who
the fuck cares about
audio.
Australian Game Developer of the Year? You know what I mean? Like, who cares?
Yeah, and it did win Grammy Awards Best Score Soundtrack for Video Game and Other Interactive Media.
Yeah, the other interactive media is stupid. They should have just kept it a video game. Whatever.
Seriously.
All right, well, that's it for that. Let's just jump right into the best and the worst.
Yeah. So I guess we'll start out with some of the best. I think, obviously, as we said, kind of the voice casting and like the backstory world building and the characters based in mythology. It's all really cool. It's done really well. I think all the voice acting and stuff really drives a lot of the game.
I agree. You know, with the voice acting, honestly, that is the highest point of this game to me.
Yeah,
there was no one in here I didn't like except the beginning of it. I love Felicia Day. Athena was really hard for me to grasp.
Oh, dude, seriously, though.
Like, I love Felicia Day, but I think maybe a more harsh voice actor for that one in particular would have probably been better.
Yeah, well, and
because the one they got from Medusa was fucking perfect, and then Felicia Day as Athena,
really good.
I was like, come on, guys.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with that. And it's especially like knowing the story and how it unfolds.
Yeah,
it was already pretty obvious to me from the very get go. But I think if better voice actors were there, it might have hidden some of those things a little bit.
Yeah, the only one I didn't really like was Athena. And that's again, fair. I think she just needed a harsher, more like volatile voice.
That's
the attitude she gave off too. But I understand too that just because, you know, someone's voice doesn't always match their personality. So.
Yeah, I mean, fair.
With that being said, you know, I think one of the best for me in this is, you know, they did a really, really, really good job with the visuals. I really enjoyed like the way things looked. It's more of like a drawing concept, less of a game concept.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like an interactive graphic novel where there's like some movement, like you'll see a character like flip or like move slightly or something, but you're not seeing like a full like animated sequence at all.
And I think that's a great way to put it. It literally, like, this is like reading a graphic novel. And to me, that's really cool. I did enjoy that a lot.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, the art styles and, like, the character designs and stuff are all really good. Like, I enjoyed a lot of it.
Okay, so now I'm going to talk about a lot of bad. So this game was boring as shit. That's the first problem. There is literally, there is no gameplay. Guys, you, like, even... You know, I think this is almost similar, and it's like they try to make like a Dream Daddy drama version.
It was like almost like a musical, but they wanted to make it also dating simulator, also like and also like a murder mystery at the same time.
Yep. So here's the problem. The dating simulator, take it out. That was
take it
too
out
much.
Completely.
You
that was
don't
awful.
Need it. I don't really care. If you want to put her in a relationship, just have it scripted and written already.
Yeah, just make Freddy the only relationship. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, seriously. And it was just rough, like going through that whole thing. Like when we played Dream Daddy is so much fucking fun because there's actual interactive gameplay in the game. And then it's funny and then the acting's good and there's no like voice acting. So all you have is that reading and you'd think that's be a little boring, but it's not because they put interactive gameplay in there. And here they did not put any gameplay. I don't know what they were thinking when they did this. Even fucking that the Dead by Daylight, their dating sim, had some gameplay, as lame as it was, in there. You know, that at least that like kind of shook things up a bit.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I definitely agree. There's just so much that I felt like was like missing from this, and I just there was just so much that like, even though like the world building and stuff is kind of intriguing and cool, I only pushed through it because I knew it was a short game, but I wasn't like interested to keep going. Like, there was nothing that drew me in. And a lot of these things, like the thing that sucks is also like it tried being kind of a dating simulator or an interactive novel, but it didn't have any saves. So you couldn't save or load, which was kind of a bummer. I mean, it kind of forced you, all your decisions were finite and they're just fully going to be what you decide throughout the entire game. There's no changing anything you make. But then also, like, you don't get to ever read any of the dialogue back again, ever.
Yeah, yeah, which is a problem. You know, in other games, you get to go in the past and read everything that you miss. Mm-hmm. Like, if you miss something or if you can't remember something, you go back and you see it. And again, because of the styling of this game, you can't do that. Like, it's just, it is a little annoying. I did forget one of the best. The best in this, to me, is the background story, man.
Oh, yeah.
They have this underlying story in this game of that is not expressed enough at all, that the gods came from a different world, but then it also seems like they come from the past, but they use the term past and world interchangeably, which I don't like because it really left a lot open. It's like they wrote this, changed their minds, and then changed it back.
Well, I feel like they did come from another world, but then they like it, we came into the past and they've been around, because they even talk about how a couple of them are like 1,000 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's one thing. But then they also mention how they were like basically asleep for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers what happened. So that might be the world they're talking about, because, you know, 1,000 years pass, a lot happened. But then they woke up in the Middle Ages, which was not too far fucking different from.
So, true.
But then they also used the world, like literal, they went through a portal, they said at one point. So
I don't know.
There's just so much misinformation in this that I love the backstory because it sounds cool. If they wrote a real role-playing game with this backstory and you're kind of like discovering the elements of what happened, that would be fucking sweet. Well,
and I kind of like the idea that they're like losing their immortality. They're Eidolons now.
Which is really not even expressed very well.
Yeah, no, it's not. But then, like, if you are dying, you can pick somebody you want to take your idol on, and then they become that god themselves. So if Hermes is dying, he can.
But I think they meant their eidolons were dying. Again, guys, this was not written well. We have no idea what it meant when they said they're losing their immortality. They didn't show any evidence of that. They didn't talk about it very much. Like, the whole thing seemed just really silly. And then this leads me to another really stupid part of this game. They made this an investigative game with no investigating.
Yes.
Yeah. Agreed. That is,
it's
just
more
so
about relationships and dialogue choices than it is ever about investigating. And the investigating is really fucking
easy. An investigation.
Easy. Like, it's so it was stupid. Pretty obvious to me from the very fucking beginning who the bad guy was.
Yeah.
I was like, it's either this person or it's everybody. And I was like, oh, yep, it's this person. Like, I thought it was going to be a Murder on the Orient Express kind of fucking thing where all of them were behind it.
They all had a piece in this.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought the same thing, actually. I'm like, what, did they all just do it together? But then why would anyone, like, say, then undo, then figure it out for yourself? Why would anyone vote on that if they all did it together? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. That was, like, kind of weird. So that's why I kind of felt like it was the one other thought that I had, which if you play it, you'll probably figure it out.
Like, we played a game called Murdered Soul Suspect, and although that game wasn't amazing, the investigating part of that game was phenomenal. Cool.
Yes.
You can't beat it. They did such a good job. I mean, we just play Indiana Jones and we did, like, it's got some pseudo investigation in there. Not amazing, but still really good.
Yeah.
And this game just decided it doesn't need it. It doesn't need any investigating. You just figure it out as you talk to people.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was kind of dumb.
Yeah. I agree. And then, like, there's just so much that I was just going to say, there's just, I keep saying there's just so much, like, and we were talking about earlier, the songs don't always even, like, kind of fit together. Like, there's certain dialogue choices or certain, like, moods you choose that just, I feel like when two people are singing at the same time, some of the songs don't even sound like they're lyrics. They sound like they're singing sentences.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. But, and again, in the background of that, you know, they made it sound like, well, we want every single thing to sound like a song. And honestly, that's where I come in like really bad on this. The songs were lame as shit.
Yeah.
There were so many moments where I was like, okay, well, this one's described as a punk rock kind of emotion. So why wouldn't you have some fucking punk rock going? Why do you have it like scored like a musical is?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, they have so much. This isn't a musical, you know, it's not forced on Broadway and you have a limited scope of what you can do. This is a game where you could literally do anything you want. And then you restrict yourself in such a manner. And I was just like it just made me feel like they didn't try hard enough.
Yeah, like
2 years
been,
of writing, and this is what they came up with.
It would have been cool if, like, when you chose the like rock on, like badass kind of mood, that it would totally shift into like a heavier style when she was singing. Like, even if they kept the other gods and everything singing in their own style, but then you had two opposing styles clashing against each other, that would be really fucking cool.
Or if it like inspires the other god to start singing in a different style, because now they're either angry or sad or neutral,
or when
or
they
whatever.
Start agreeing with you, they start meshing with your style. So that way you kind of know that they're actually, you're getting progress towards them agreeing with you. Cause there's so many times that you like say something, you're like, I honestly don't know how they're going to react to any of these things. Like, it's so bizarre.
And that's another thing too. They, you know, a lot of these games, they have this point system essentially that says, okay, if you get enough points by dialogue options, you can unlock this option as a future option. So like, The one I think about all the time is Life is Strange, the first one.
Yeah.
When you're on the roof with what's her face?
Oh,
and she's
going
to jump, and you have to stop her from jumping, and you have to get enough points to do that. So when you break it down, somebody broke it down online. They show like, well, you get 5 points for saying this, 2 points for saying this, 1 point for saying this, -2 points for doing that. You know, they have this point system. And if you have X amount of points by the end of this conversation, she doesn't jump.
Yeah.
Which they very much did in this, but in this one, it was literally everything had a point.
Yes.
Which makes it kind of obnoxious because you have no idea if you're saying the right thing or wrong thing. And honestly, I don't know what the good or bad situations that came out of anything was.
Yeah, there were so many times, and there were sometimes like I clicked on an option and I didn't realize like fully what it was going to do or was going to immediately do it.
Yeah.
And then it did it. And then I was like, oh shit, that's not necessarily what I wanted to fucking do. And then it just like, nothing happened. Like, I was like, oh, okay, this person's gonna hate me now. And it's like, oh, we're still friends. Cool.
Yeah. It's so weird. It's like they make everything seem like this is the final choice with very little
consequence.
I don't know. No, well, with very little introspective of what that choice truly means. So like,
yeah.
If you choose this, in our mind, well, we lose our friend Freddy, right?
True.
That's my immediate thought is if I choose this, I lose Freddy.
Yeah.
So I have to choose this if I don't want to lose Freddy because Freddy seems cool. But then it turns out if you chose that, you wouldn't lose her. You just don't get dialogue options like, with her later on.
Even a good example of this is kind of like the first time you go to Medusa's lair or whatever, her club that she has.
Yeah.
You can, it says like, oh, we might want to sneak around. There's a bouncer at the front door. We might need to try to find another entrance. And you get the option to like find another entrance, like try to find a window or like just go talk to the bouncer. And I was just like, well, I mean, it didn't say we couldn't just go talk to the bouncer. What happens if you go talk to the bouncer? And I'm like, okay, this was just the easiest fucking thing ever. I just talked to the bouncer. Yeah. I was like, Medusa wants to see me. I'm an Eidolon. Let's go. And he's like, all right. Like, wait.
Yeah, I think I chose to break in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just the entirety of the game. I think they just, it almost seems like they rushed everything, even though this game took 5 years to make. You know, it's just. I don't know.
And I feel like they want you to play it multiple times so you can kind of see what the consequences of your actions are, but they didn't make it interactive enough for me to want to play it more than once.
Yeah, go back to it. Because that was the big thing. It's clear that this game wants you to play it several times.
Yes.
But they didn't make it. You know, the guy in the video talked a lot about musical hooks. You know, there's a hook to a song that essentially makes it the song. Mm-hmm. If you think of let's do Celine Dion, right?
Okay.
Right? No, you know what? Let's do Whitney Houston. You think of the, and I will always love you. Yeah, right? You think of that. That's their hook. That brings you back. Every time they do that, it makes you feel something good. So it brings you back to it. And he had that discussion the entire time with hooks and songs and how there has to be a hook to bring you back to that song.
Yeah.
And with that mentality, you'd think they'd have the same idea for the game itself. Like, true. It has to hook the player in and keep them in. And then when they finish, it has to hook them back. Because if there's no hook back, how the fuck are we expecting people to play this 40 times to get the 50 different fucking endings that you can get?
True. Yeah, I know. I think, like, the only songs that actually, like, hooked me were the opening song that they reprise later.
Yeah.
Like, that was pretty good. And I did like the reprise of it.
Yeah.
And then I think it was the song with Aphrodite, depending on what choice you did. But if you chose to save her life, there's I don't necessarily like the entire song, but there's a certain like bridge cadence that's just got the best like rhythm to it. And I was like, oh, that hits good. And there's like moments in these songs that do that for me. But the entirety of the song, I would not recommend to anyone most of the time.
Nope. Yeah, it was rough going through this too. Yeah. I mean, and you get different options for how the songs sound depending on things you choose during that, which isn't explained very well. There's not a very good tutorial of how this game is. I know I'm shitting on it a lot, but guys, I did not like it very much. Like I said, the best part about this game is the backing stories, because I felt like the guy from Dragon Age just does such a good job in writing a story. Yeah. And the problem with this is he wasn't limited to the background story, but he was limited to what Grace could do.
Yeah. Well, and it sucks because we're praising the voice acting so much.
Yeah. Voice acting was great.
Like, if it had better dialogue and better lyrics, it would have been even way better.
Yep.
Like,
this and would honestly, have guys, been bigger. You play this game and like what hooks you in. The only thing that hooked me was the backing story.
Yeah. Now,
honestly, the most fun part about this was like, oh my God. So what happened to fucking Zeus? We don't know.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Like, you don't know. So does that mean I get to discover this partway through?
No.
You're right. Like there were cool things. And again, if they chose to like do a sequel to this, I would highly suggest they just make it a fucking role playing game. Because they have so much cool shit behind this, and then they have this dumb fucking story of Grace in the forefront.
Well, honestly, because I love anything that deals with the gods, just all gods of all different
and
pantheons.
They did a really like incredible job in building a world around them. Like, honestly, it's fucking interesting as
even
shit.
Some of them had really great depth and stuff. Like, even when you're like hearing about Aphrodite and her struggles, and every like so often she has to like do a new Eidolon because she can't take all the memories of all the things that people have done to her in the past. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, it's so dark and deep, but I'm like so interested. Like, I want to know what actually happened, what was said, how she was tortured. Like, give me more.
Dude, it was again a sequel and a role-playing aspect of this game. That would be so much fucking fun.
Yes.
I would enjoy that so much. Get the guys who made Two Worlds to do it. Oh, you will have the best fucking RPG in the world.
All right, are we ready for the first few hours of the game?
Let's move on to the first few hours.
I think you will know everything you need to know about this game within the first hour of playing it, maybe even the first half hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting enough, but it definitely could be more exciting. And if what we're saying doesn't vibe with you, I don't recommend it for you. Like, watch playthrough of it or something, see if it's in your cup of tea, but unless you're a big musical lover and a big fan of these voice actors or just gods and pantheons in general, I don't think this game's going to be for you.
Yeah. On a first few hours basis, I'm going to say fail 100%.
Yeah.
This is guys, I was so bored. The first 2 hours of this game is so boring until you like essentially they have this map, right? That you can travel around in. And for the first few hours, you only get to travel to places that they want you to travel to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, this seems really fucking restrictive and stupid, and they should have just opened up the entire map right off the bat.
Yeah.
So that really like pissed me off when I first got into the game. And I'm like, well, this is stupid. This is so fucking dumb. You have an investigative game and you're basically holding our hand to the fucking investigation. This is really fucking stupid.
Yep.
I'm gonna say hard fail on this one. There's no way you will enjoy this. I don't care who the fuck you are. If you do, you're a fucking weirdo. Play real games.
All right. So I guess we'll go on to Steve Achieves next.
What are the achievements? I have to assume they're fun ones at least.
There's actually a pretty decent amount of achievements in this. So the game is about six and a half hours long, as we said. It's about 18 hours to 100% complete the game. It took me about 5.5 hours to complete, and I got 16 out of the 45 achievements on just one playthrough.
Nice.
There's obviously the achievements for completing each act, and then there's one for all the different romance options, which you have four available romance options: Freddy, Apollo, Persephone, and Pan.
Yep.
The only one I tried to romance at all was Freddy. I didn't try the others.
I didn't romance anyone. I just did not give a shit. I was so like pissed when I saw that there were romance options in this game.
Yeah, when it first appeared, because it doesn't appear until like 30 minutes or 40 minutes into the game, I feel like, anyways. Yep. It's so random.
Yep.
There's one that I thought could be interesting. I didn't take this option in the game. It's called The Hell Is Mine, and it's for taking the throne of hell yourself.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't even know that was going to be a fucking option. That sounds pretty radical, actually.
Well, I saw that, but you need to have the red option, I think, to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So, because when I got...
Oh, yeah, that was like, another thing, too. You, like, lock yourself out of options. Like, you can't choose options if you choose a certain way. Because I went charming at first.
Yeah, and I went blue, whatever blue was.
I think it's intelligence or something.
I think I went blue and green.
Yeah, that's what I did. I did blue and green.
So, yeah, because that seems more necessary. Because every time, like, I did the red options when I did my song against Persephone, and it just felt, I don't know, weird. Like, it felt like she was pissed at me, and, like, I failed, and I'm like,
yeah,
did I fuck up this bad? Like, maybe I'll never choose a red option again, I guess.
Like, I'm like, is the punk rock version just always kind of evil? Like, what the fuck,
like,
is
kind,
it? Is
kind that, of, but not even evil, because then I chose it on a different one. I'm like, well, now I don't feel like I'm doing exactly what I did before, so I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah. And then also there is DLC for the Stray Gods, Orpheus, also added, and some extra achievements to this game, which the Orpheus does add, I think, an extra 5 or 6 songs, and it's all, you're playing as Orpheus for the DLC.
All right.
Which I thought could be interesting, honestly. And yeah, it's, I mean, it's starring Anthony Rapp still, so, which he's one of the best singers in the game. For
yeah,
sure.
I would say Orpheus's voice actor was awesome. Like,
he was the best.
And he plays such a small part in the game, which sucks.
I know. That's how I'm kind of like, the DLC might be actually better because
it might
he's the best singer. You're playing as him the entire time. It's got a whole adventure with him. So I'm like,
yep. I wonder if it's like the original. So, you know what they might have done? So the story of Orpheus is actually a musical.
Oh.
Yeah, I went and saw it with Lana a while ago. It's I can't remember what it's called, but it's really cool. And Orpheus, essentially, the story is like he has a golden voice, and his voice can bring meaning to life. But his love dies, and he has to go to Hades to get his love back. And the rule is you could never lose sight of each other no matter what.
Oh.
But there were
this
things.
Was that Hades Town play or something?
Yeah, Hades Town is an S. Thank you.
I think that's what it is. Yeah,
it's really, really okay. I didn't like it that much, honestly. Like, it's good. It's honestly good. It was just like the storytelling is all through song. There's not a lot of
that's
like
fair.
Intermediate points where they're just talking.
I agree with that with a lot of things because I actually just watched Nightmare Before Christmas, and I've seen it like once I was really little, and then I wasn't allowed to watch it for a long time, and then. Everyone was like nonstop, like, this is the best thing ever. So I finally decided to just watch it this year again. And I was kind of disappointed. I like, it's okay. And I get why the songs are catchy and fine and stuff like that. But I like, that's the problem I had with that was it's all music. There's only like 10 minutes of the movie of an 80-minute movie that's dialogue. Yep. And I'm like, it needs more dialogue. Like, it's not an opera. Like, so many musicals try to be an opera nowadays. Like, Les Mis doesn't have a single spoken word. It's basically essentially an opera without being called an opera.
Well, Les Mis has been around forever, right?
Well, I know. But I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of, like, musicals that keep trying to do that. Like, we're basically an opera without being an opera. And I'm like, I like when you have dialogue mixed in, like, mixing play and opera together. That's what a musical is. It's not just all music.
Yeah, for sure. I'll agree with that. And Hadestown does a really piss poor job at that. Okay. But I wonder, with the idea of Hadestown in there, they just took, but it's essentially a musical that already exists and made it into part of their game.
That would be kind of cool.
Because it's just the origins of Orpheus, pretty much. If they're doing it that way, I don't know what else to help. Like, literally, what else can you do with Orpheus? Because there's no story of Orpheus besides his origin story that's presented to you in the game.
Yeah.
So, very curious about it. Maybe we give that a try for a sequel thing or like an extra content thing if people like it enough.
Possibly.
But yeah.
That's what I pretty much got for the achievements. I didn't look much into a lot more of it. And then there is no Easter eggs in this. So
I was going
to
say, I can't imagine there's fucking Easter eggs anywhere because this is I'm pretty sure this is this company's first game.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100%. They had no wiki page. There wasn't a lot of information of them out there. So I imagine that means they've only made one games. And then the publisher for this was actually Humble Bundle.
Yes.
Which I thought was funny. I didn't even know they published shit, but apparently they do.
Right.
Because, and Humble Bundle, guys, if you don't know, it's like they sell games for super cheap. And then all the proceeds from selling those games go to charities.
Yep.
It's really cool.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. So yeah, I guess we'll just go into our last and final ratings. What's it worth to you?
I'm just going to say it's a one.
That's fair.
I don't think this game is worth playing for anyone. It was so fucking boring the entire time. Like I said, I got really interested when the backstory got presented and I started like getting really into it. Cause I'm like, okay, when am I going to find this? And then they never found any of the cool backstory shit.
Yeah.
All you get is this gray story that sucks. So yeah. I'm going to give it a 1 out of 5 souls. Sorry guys. If you really like this game, I apologize, but I did not like it.
I was kind of leaning towards at least a 2, and just because there is some interesting concept. The voice acting is incredible. I love all these actors and stuff, and there's enough backstory and stuff that got me going at least a little bit. Like, I was still intrigued, and I'm intrigued enough to even possibly play the DLC, so I don't think it's like a 1. Like, it's not like irredeemable fully, but I don't think most people are going to enjoy this. I knew as soon as I was playing it, I was like, this is one that I'm going to hear a lot earful from Scott, because this is not Scott's game at all.
It's just boring. Like, that's the problem with it. Some of these games are just fucking boring, man. It just sucks.
Well,
this game,
like,
could have been more. The idea is awesome. Like, I love the idea of the game. It sounds like their passion was there. Just the execution somehow got rot away somewhere. I don't know where it was, but man, did they do a bad job near the end.
Like, for me, games kind of in this realm, like that we played recently, like Immortality,
that's
4 out of 5, 5 out of 5 game for me, was just incredible. And like a lot of
it,
really
I think I gave it a 3, which is perfectly average at least. I didn't give it a fucking 1.
And this one just has nothing in the game department whatsoever.
Nope.
Like, I usually like to fight with Scott about this topic in some of these games. Like, it's got enough playability, like rewinding and finding the
tapes, but there's literally none. That's the frustrating part, guys. The most interactive thing you get is clicking shit on the map in order to move your character there, and that's it. That's all you get.
Quickly picking your dialogue choices in the middle of a song, but you can even make it so you have unlimited time mode. So,
oh, can you? God damn it! I should have done that, because I
thought about doing it,
stressing about it constantly. When does the fuck am I gonna have time to look at all these options and also pay attention to what she's singing and figure out what the fuck I should choose?
Yep, that is an option in the menu.
Yeah. All right. Good to know. Next time. One thing you should know about this game too, guys, we probably should have mentioned it at the front. There are allegations of rape. So if you get set off by that stuff, I would not play this game.
Yeah.
Like, there's stuff in this game that's a little bit like mental health shit in there.
There's definitely depression. There's definitely like non-binary characters. There's definitely like a bunch of LGBT stuff as well.
Any of that stuff sets you off, I guess don't play. Although if the LGBT and the non-binary, I probably shouldn't set anybody off.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, shut the fuck up if I were you. Stop listening. I don't want your listenership.
I was just saying, like, if you want to avoid that, you can avoid it, but just shut up about it.
Shut the fuck up about it. But yeah, there is rape stuff. There is mental health stuff. So just be aware when you're playing the game.
There is toxic suicide and stuff in this, too.
Yeah. Just be careful when you're playing if you're really sensitive to that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the game. That was it. That was the best we got from that.
Yes.
Yeah, it kind of sucked.
A little bit. I was kind of sad on this one.
I feel bad. I always feel bad after reading the stories about how people work so hard to make a game, and I'm sitting there like, yeah, this game fucking blows. Those people are fucking idiots. I hope they die.
Whoa.
Dummies.
We don't necessarily hope they die.
I hope they make another game and it burns them alive or something. I don't know. Like, I feel bad because reading the stories, you can clearly tell these people care about what they're making. I just think the execution somewhere along the line gets completely off. Like,
oh, yeah. And I mean, like, no matter how hard you try or put effort into something, doesn't necessarily guarantee that it's going to be good. I mean, look at how many hours our friend Bryant put into Smite. And he never got good at the game.
That's true. Like, sometimes you just try something for so long and then there's on the other side, there is no golden thing, yeah. right? There's no golden podium for you to stand on, because the best you can get is the lowest podium that there is.
Yeah.
So
that's fair. That's fair.
So yeah. Hope you enjoyed that one, guys.
Yes.
Next week we are playing
A Hat in Time.
Yes. I'm actually excited. I don't know anything about this game, but I love the fucking title.
Dude.
What a great
title. The artwork is adorable as fuck. It's like, it's kind of on the same realms of like Mario 64 or Spyro or those kind of games. Action event for platforming. Adorable as fuck, though.
All right. All right. All right. Well, we'll catch you next week, guys.
All right.
Bye. Love you.